Pastor Jeff says get to know the truth, and you'll be able to spot a lie a mile away.
If you don't know the real, you're going to be deceived by the counterfeit. What do you mean? Well, you need to know the real. I mean, bankers always work with their tellers with the real. They give them real money, and they say, oh, we just want you to handle it, smell it, look at it, and deal with it on a daily basis, hour after hour. Why? I want to see a counterfeit. I want to see a counterfeit. Oh, no, you'll see one. You just keep dealing with the real. You deal with the real, man, that counterfeit's going to pop out at you. Boom. I found one, you know? And it just, the feel of it, the look of it, it's counterfeit. So how we need to stay close to His Word.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Glad you're with us as we're back in 1 John. There are some important questions that we must answer in life. Like, will you marry me, or will you accept this job offer? But none can compare to this. Who is Jesus Christ? Pastor Jeff will explain the monumental ramifications that are linked to how we answer that. Join us, 1 John chapter 2, as we set out to answer, who is Jesus Christ?
We're in 1 John chapter 2, and we left off with verse 20. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, we have been talking about, actually John's been sharing with us as he's received from the Lord, giving to us, talking about as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, fellowship with God the Father and the Son. I mean, just this incredible relationship we get to have. And then he started talking about our relationship being his child and how we can know that we're the child of God. I mean, he's given us some actual ways that we can find out that we are truly children of God and not of the other guy. Children of disobedience and of wrath, you know. No, God intervened and he's given me a new heart. And with that new heart, I love my brothers. I'm loving God and I'm obeying his commandments. And so there's ways that he's revealed to us. But after this, John, after giving us this instruction, which is incredible, he gives us warning. And the first warning about what he wanted to give us is the first mark of the Antichrist. There's actually three we're going to be looking at. This morning is number two, but we've already looked at the first mark, the counterfeit, the Antichrist. He shares with us now who the real deal is all about. He's given us, you know, the counterfeit. But now he says, I want you to know, and I want you to be able to answer the greatest question of all time, who is Jesus Christ? That's such an important question. We need to be able to answer that with an emphatic, you know, we know who he is. Many say he is a good example. He's a good teacher. He's a good man. I used to say he's a great guru, one of the many that are out there. That's when before I was a believer, that's what I believed. But John reveals he is all of these and much more. In fact, John is going to be sharing with us, he is the incarnate Son of God. What does that mean, incarnate? It means he is Emmanuel in Isaiah. Isaiah said Emmanuel, why? Because it means God what? God with us. That's important, isn't it? He's God in the flesh. Jot this down, Matthew 16, in verse 13. And Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Great question. He wanted them. He wanted feedback. Who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you are John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, and then still others, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now I want to hear from you guys after hanging around me for so long. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, who usually takes foot and puts in mouth, didn't do it this time. Something happened. A real miracle took place in Peter's life. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. No, verse 16 says, Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Because flesh and blood, they're all messed up. They don't have discerning of spirits. They don't understand in the spiritual realm. But he says, my Father, which is in heaven, gave this to you. He enlightened you. He let you know this truth. It's such a powerful truth. And Jesus said, I say unto you that thou art Petros. And he called him this name, Petros. Means little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, which he looked up to Mount Hermon, huge mountain, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A powerful, powerful encounter. Upon this confession is what Jesus is saying. It'll decide your eternity, what you decide about who Jesus is. Your forever. Where are you going to spend? Where are you going to go when you die? What happens? And this confession is so powerful. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 3, in verse 36, jot it down, very important verse. We're going to mention it twice. John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. That's good news. And he that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's bad news. So there's good news and there's bad news here. Now, he said, they say that you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, is representative of the moral majority, you know, the good guys, right? John the Baptist. He was just one of those good guys. And then he says, they quoted and said, you're like, they say, Elijah, representative of what? Miracles. You know, that the great miracles, the signs and wonders that you've done. Or it just, they say you're like Elijah. Or Jeremiah represents the great evangelism of Jeremiah. I mean, he really reached out. The prophets represent great teaching. And so you have all these individuals that is mentioned. You're like this, you're like this, you're like that. But when you really get it right down to it, all of these represent who Jesus Christ is. All of these ones that they thought he was like. Putting them all together, you've got a great picture that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and he brings all of these things together. He's the Son of the living God. Peter, this is a revelation from God, a divine revelation. His Spirit has come upon you, and it's coming upon the whole world to convict the world of what? Of sin. That they need to see this. If they don't, they're going to perish. They're going to fall under the wrath of God. They need to see the importance of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Peter, this is awesome. And I'm going to call you Petros. But upon this Petra, this confession, that I will build my church. I'm not going to build it on Peter. He's a little stone. He freaks out and he doesn't do well. I'm not going to build it on Peter. He's not the first pope, okay? I'm going to build it on this confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, he says. What a promise to us. What a promise. Our answer this morning to who Jesus Christ is has monumental ramifications. Monumental. So important. Put this verse down. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 32. Matthew 10, 32. Jesus is speaking, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Confesses me before men. How powerful is that? And many of you remember when you did that and the transformation that happened in your life. And then, of course, there's Romans chapter 10. Many of you know this verse, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confession, saying it from your mouth, from your heart, out of your mouth. Interesting. Now, what's our resource against the lies and the deception of our enemy? Because, see, Antichrist is against Christ. Remember, we talked about that. Instead of, against, putting it down. Over in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, in verse 3, he says, "But if our gospel be hid, veiled, it is hid to them that are lost, who don't understand." They even have a hat you can get, buy at the store right now. Lost. You can wear it around. It's hid from those who are lost. "In whom the God of this world," Paul says, "has blinded the minds of them that believe not." So many this morning do not believe. Many have been ripped off. So what is John going to give to us to help us in this dilemma that we have all around us? The God of this world blinding the eyes, keeping them from the good news. Let's go back to our text now in John chapter 2, verse 20. John 2, 20. "But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And then jump over with me to verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2. "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you." And then he says, "And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it taught you, you shall abide in him." I love that scripture in Luke 4:18, where Jesus comes up in this synagogue in Nazareth, opens the scrolls of Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." I love that. His unction is upon me. Jesus said, "Guys, I have to go." And they were freaking out. "What do you mean you're going to go? You're not going to leave us? We've been with you 3 years. You're not going to leave us. We're going to hang with you all the way to the end." "No, I have to go. It's time to go." Panic, you know? Because unless I go, I cannot send the other comforter. See, I comforted you to this point, but I'm going to send you my Spirit. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 16, jot it down, in verse 13, Jesus says, "Howbeit when he," talking about the Spirit of truth is come, "he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you." So this is needful for you that my Spirit comes to communicate spiritual things. So John here is reminding his readers who he's writing to. And that's us this morning, right? Because this is where we're at. So John is writing to us this morning what Paul told those in Corinth. Exactly. And he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is what he told the Corinthians. He's telling us the same thing. But as it is written, an eye hath not seen, nor an ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But, he says, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God says, I'm going to give you my Spirit. So it's not that we become smart immediately and we know everything. We just know what we need to know, okay? What he wants us to know. That's the most important thing, isn't it? That we know who we are and what's going on in this world that we live in. He's communicating to us to know the truth. There is a great scripture, and you might want to just jot this down and underline it. But in Romans 8, 9, listen to what Paul says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, I'm going to emphasize that, he is none of his. If you don't have Christ in you, who is the hope of glory, you don't have life. You don't know God. Period. That's what he's saying here. Do you know about God? Yes, I know about God. I know about the Son. I know about Jesus. I was in catechism. I was in this. I was doing this. I was doing that. And you know, you have mental knowledge about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he's not talking about that, is he? The mental thing of knowing. No, he's talking about having him in you. Wow. And if Christ be in you, so important. So I just want to make that little emphasis there. It's a powerful truth. So knowing that there is Antichrist deception going on, John gives us three of the most outstanding marks of a false teacher. The first one was where? Back in our text, 1 John 2:19. He makes it very, very clear. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. That makes sense. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. So they just get out of fellowship. They visit for a while. They're there, but they're not totally there in the Spirit. They're not children of God. You've got a mixed multitude here, guys. Do you understand that? We're not all Christians here. There's a mixed group. There are those that come, but they don't then they leave. You wonder, where such and such go? Where are they? I don't know. Well, they were... They were at the baptism. I saw them get baptized. Where are they? Well, they just drifted. Are they in a church anywhere? No. What happened? I don't know. So the number one thing is the mark of a false Antichrist spirit is that they depart fellowship. They really haven't had an encounter with the living God. The second mark is right here, and that is that he denies the faith. He just flat denies the faith. These were called back then Gnostics, or cultists, if you want to use that word or term. Claimed to have the special knowledge and insight from God. Oh, God was definitely a part of their vocabulary. They talked a lot about the scripture and this and that, but they claimed to have this special insight. How many groups do we know that claim to have that? They would say, like, well, Jesus, and they came up with this, and we know that Jesus was born of Joseph. He was only, you know, and Joseph was a man. So, and we know that Jesus is not God because of that. I remember when I was in Eastern religion, and they would say, well, God is like Los Angeles. And there's many roads and freeways into Los Angeles. As long as you get there, it doesn't matter what road you're on, as long as you get to L.A., I mean, your road could be drugs. Your road could be philosophy. Your road could be religion. It doesn't matter. It could be Eastern religion. It's okay. It's all good as long as you get there. Whew. John says we've received his Spirit. Follow me on this. Acts 4:13, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God's Spirit came in and dwelt them. When you have an encounter like that, you're going to be different. Now, that's why I think they came and they said, have you received the Spirit of the Lord since you believed? I mean, they believed intellectually. They haven't really received that Spirit. They haven't really received that anointing, which they needed so desperately. Our source of truth, to know the Spirit of truth, to know the Spirit of error, to bring comfort to us, to bring hope and power. Remember Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's available to all that call upon the Lord. Now, notice this, verse 21, as John continues. First he says, we've received the unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You've been connected to spiritual things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. I'm writing to you guys because I know you know the truth. And that no lie is of the truth. I mean, truth is truth, right? There's only one way to get. That's it. Bottom line. It just is. Who is a liar then? But he that denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. He is Antichrist, that denies the Father, notice, and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son, has the Father also. So, you shall know the truth, and what does the scripture say? The truth will set you free. You shall know the truth will set you free. And then Jesus said that one statement, I am the truth. So we need to know Jesus. He's the truth. He frees us. Over in John's gospel again, we're just going to steady on with John because John starts when he's younger. He puts these heavy things down by the Holy Spirit, writes them down. Then when he's older, he just solidifies them, okay? He brings them all together and we just go, whoa, that's awesome. So John 14, verse 16, jot it down. He says, and I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. And then verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, notice in my name, you got all the Trinity there in John 14, 26. You got the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Father, and he said, I'll send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So the key here is our confession and our reception of Jesus Christ. That's when it takes place, right? When we receive Christ, we receive what? His Spirit that comes in, that keeps us, that informs us, that gives us the knowledge of what's going on around us. If you don't know the real, you're going to be deceived by the counterfeit. What do you mean? Well, you need to know the real. I mean, bankers always work with their tellers with the real. They give them real money and they say, oh, we just want you to handle it, smell it, look at it, and deal with it on a daily basis, hour after hour. Why? I want to see a counterfeit. I want to see a counterfeit. Oh, no, you'll see one. You'll see one. You just keep dealing with the real. You deal with the real, man, that counterfeit's going to pop out at you. Boom, man. I found one, you know? And it just, the feel of it, the look of it, it's just, it's counterfeit. So, how we need to stay close to His Word.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message by my Saba, my grandpa, Pastor Jeff Johnson, the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel Downey. To listen to more messages by Pastor Jeff, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or download the app Sound Doctrine Podcast on the App Store. God bless you.
Well, as many of you know, we've been on the radio for quite some time. And in order to pull off something like this, we must depend completely on the Lord. His provision often comes through caring Christians, and for that we're grateful. To stand with us today with a gift of any amount, simply go to sounddoctrineradio.org and then click Give in the top right corner. Well, Pastor Jeff has written quite a few books. One of them is Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale. If asked, would you say you're running from God or to God? And that's really the question you'll carefully consider in this book as you journey through Jonah with Pastor Jeff. You'll observe God's mercy and compassion poured out onto both Jonah and the Ninevites. God longs to bless each and every one of us, and He also desires that we share His love with those that don't know Him. Jonah would learn that the hard way. Order a copy of Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale, when you call 800-353-7553 or visit us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Glad you've taken time out for today's study in 1 John. Come back next time. This program is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey and online at sounddoctrineradio.org. So Father,